We're in Psalm 135, 1 to 21 this morning, praising God for his sovereign goodness. God is not only a good God, but he is also a sovereign God. And the combination of those two very different characteristics make for great blessings for the Lord's people. Psalm 135, verses 1 to 21, dwells on the application of these two characteristics in a great psalm of praise to God. And we view this composition for our insight and edifying application as follows. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we're so grateful for your loving kindness. We thank you for your word, for your truth, for the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God to be our paraclete, the one who runs alongside and helps us, the one who teaches and then equips us to live like the Christian life by his power. Look to you this morning, Father, for insight and for the power to follow through in applying the Word of God in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the psalm first, and then we'll look at it in the Hebrew text. First of all, the King's English, Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in earth, and in the sea, and all the deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan. And gave their land for an heritage unto Israel his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. The gods of the Gentiles are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they heed not. They have ears, but they hear not, neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are as like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that revere the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Okay. The numbering system and the psalm of the Hebrew text matches that of the English Bible, so of course we're staying with the English Bible's numbering system for our lesson. And we translate the psalm as follows. Praise Yah, and then we add the word way. It actually is praise Yahweh, but literally in the Hebrew, the word praise in the imperative form is hallelujah, and then the name Yahweh is Yahweh, but they would often shorten it to say hallelujah. We get the term hallelujah, okay? So that's what it starts with. The psalm starts with hallelujah, and then ends with hallelujah. So praise Yahweh. Praise the name of Yahweh. Praise him, you servants of Yahweh. You who minister in the house of Yahweh, in the courts of the house of our Elohim, praise Yahweh, or praise Yah, or hallelujah. For Yahweh is good. Sing praise to his name, because that is pleasing. For Yahweh has chosen Jacob to be his own, Israel to be his treasured possession. For I myself, the word I is in the emphatic position, it's written separate from the verb. For I myself know that Yahweh is great, that our Elohim is greater than all gods. Yahweh does whatever pleases him, in the heavens and in the earth, in the seas and in all their depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, firstborn of men and animals. He sent his signs and wonders into your midst, O Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants. He struck down many nations and killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings of Canaan. And he gave their land as an inheritance to Israel, his people. Your name, O Yahweh, endures forever. Your renown, O Yahweh, throughout all generations. For Yahweh will vindicate his people and have compassion on all his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold made by the hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but they cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. O house of Israel, praise Yahweh. O house of Aaron, bless Yahweh. O house of Levi, bless Yahweh. You who revere Yahweh, bless Yahweh. Blessed be Yahweh from Zion to him who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise Yah, and then we add way, or hallelujah. So we note significant observations regarding this psalm as follows. Both the introduction, that's verses 1 to 3a, and the conclusion, verses 19 to 21, the psalmist called for God to be praised. Now, his reasons for praising God revolve around the application of two characteristics. You notice I didn't say two attributes. I don't hold sovereignty to be an attribute. God is good, that's an attribute. An attribute, by definition, is something that is inherent with God, whether there's a creative order or not. Now, before creation, there was nothing for God to be sovereign to because there was nothing else there. It was just him. So when God creates, when something comes into being like that, then God relates to that, and that becomes part of his nature. So God is sovereign in nature in relationship to his universe. So one of these deals with, the sovereignty deals with his nature, the goodness deals with his attributes. So I just refer to these things as characteristics of God. So I'm trying to dot my I's and cross my T's exactly. So these are two divine characteristics, God, goodness, which is an attribute, and his sovereignty, which relates to his nature. To explain, God's goodness is seen in his graciously choosing the people of Israel to be his treasured possession. And his sovereignty has been applied toward ministering to Israel's needs in various great ways. God is sovereign over all pagan gods and the universe, so that he could slay Egypt's firstborn of men and animals and perform many miracles in nature against Egypt and their gods and deliver Israel from the Egyptian bondage. You'll recall when we were going through the book of Exodus, we did this in prayer meeting, I think a number of years ago. All of the plagues had to deal with a critique on the Egyptian gods. You had a god of the Nile River, they had a god of the lice, and the god of and so forth. All of these things. In fact, some of these things, like the frogs, the frog god was the god of the resurrection god and so forth. All of these, sometimes there were two or even three Egyptian gods that were critiqued in one particular plague. But Exodus 12:12, God says, I will stretch out my hand against all the gods of Egypt. And the reason is the Egyptians looked to their gods for protection. So when God was demonstrating his superiority over these various things in nature, he was critiquing their gods. And that was also to teach Israel, look, I'm greater than foreign gods. If I'm greater than foreign gods, when you get to Canaan, don't look to these Canaanite gods, you look to me. That's what God was trying to train his people way ahead of time so that they wouldn't go after these pagan gods. So he was demonstrating his sovereignty over them. God also was sovereign over the gods and the peoples of Canaan. So he caused them to be defeated before Israel that she might inherit the promised land. You know, what's interesting, Og, the king of Bashan, and Sihon, the king of the Amorites, these people groups were giants. In fact, one of these men, I think Og, king of Bashan, he had a bed, actually his sarcophagus, it was 13 feet long and 4 feet wide. He's a huge man. Well, Israel, the people of Israel were not that big, but they defeated giants. They defeated giants under Moses' leadership before they ever went into the land. So when they went into the land and there were some giants there, the Anakim in the south, they wouldn't be afraid of the giants. They weren't supposed to be afraid of the giants, that is. So God was sovereign over the gods and over the peoples So he caused them to be defeated before Israel that she might inherit the promised land. And God is sovereign over the gods and the peoples of the world, so that he will forever apply his goodness and sovereignty for his treasured people, Israel. We know that according to Romans chapter 11, verses 26 and 27, Israel as a nation has yet to be saved. Now, during the Great Tribulation, two-thirds of the Jewish people will die. They'll be slain by the Antichrist, and they'll fall and all sorts of other things. But the one-third that survives will be purified as gold. And they will believe very firmly in their Messiah, the Lord Jesus, when he comes back. And when he comes back, of course, you're going to have the remnant of the 7,000 and so forth. But you're going to have these people, and they're going to be totally committed to the Lord. So true Israel will be saved, and they will be his treasured people. And then as a result, God blesses the Jew, and then through the Jew, God reaches out and blesses the Gentile world. But we cannot have peace, we cannot have blessing in the Gentile world until the Jew is right with God, and God is blessing the Jew, and then through the Jew, he's blessing all the families of the earth. It's the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 12, 1-3, and God has yet to fulfill that covenant. Now, the reason we are blessed today is because we're related directly to the Messiah. We're in Jesus Christ. We're in the Messiah. We are part of his bride. So that's why we get involvement in the Messianic kingdom and so forth, because we're not Jewish. We're saved by grace, whether we're Jew or Gentile today. But we're related, intimately, spiritually related to the Messiah. But God has got to bless the world through the Jew first and then the Gentile. So God is to be praised for applying his infinite goodness and sovereignty in behalf of his loved, chosen people. And incidentally, today, if you're in Jesus Christ, you are loved and you are chosen in him. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood in Jesus Christ by grace, regardless of our ethnicity, our gender, our background. None of that has any effect. Because if we know Christ as our Savior, we are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we're blessed. I was talking, I've mentioned this before, to some Jewish fellows who were Christians. And they said, Pastor, and they had me on a conference call, never forgot it. We understand that since we've come to faith in Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom, we're not going to get our access to our property because they're going to belong to the church. And I said, well, that's right. Well, that's a bummer. We're Jews. We're looking forward to getting our property. So I asked him, I said, what would you prefer to be? Would you prefer to be a regular Jew who inherits his property, or would you like to belong to the elite bodyguard of the Messiah? In unison, they said, the elite bodyguard of the Messiah. I said, guess what? You're there. If you know Jesus Christ. You're in the Messiah. You're part of the bride of the Messiah. You're going to be, wherever the Messiah goes, you're very closely united to him. And at that point, these Jewish fellows said, oh. Like that, that's great. So I said, what you're giving up, what you're gaining from what you're giving up is so much greater. And they were just rejoicing. And it caused me as a Gentile to realize we don't, as Christians, we don't understand the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. We can't come close to appreciating it. You almost have to be Jewish to understand. We are tight with the Messiah. We are part of his people. We're part of the bride of the Messiah himself. And that's a tremendous calling. So in application, may we praise God for his goodness and sovereignty that are greatly applied to us, his people who trust in Jesus as Savior. And then may we trust God to apply his infinite goodness and his sovereignty forevermore. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson itself, doesn't it?